Well, today is definitely a very bittersweet day for us. Bitter in the fact that soon we're going to be leaving y'all, but sweet in that we know that the next step that God has ordained for us is exactly what He wants for us, and sweet in the fact that in just less than a week's time now, we'll be able to share our son with our family more often. Which just makes me emotional even thinking about it. It's just, you know, I wasn't planning on sharing this, but just something that has been, the Lord has done in our hearts since finding out we were pregnant with Rocco, and then it's just been like an increasing thing that's happened in us leading up to and even after his arrival, and even till right now, is just, he's just like increased this desire and longing in us to be with our family. And to, like, do life with them. And up until that point, really, Brittany and I are just, and we still are, we're like, Lord, we'll go wherever you want us to do and do whatever you want us to do. It's not a problem. But what he's calling us to do in this next season, what I'll talk about a little bit later during the lunch, is to go and to be with, is to go and to be with our family and to do life with them. We haven't done that in our married life. At all yet, and so we're really looking forward to that. And I won't get lost on a tangent and not too much. Share more with you about that a little bit later. Well, as John mentioned, we've been in the Gospel of John, and today the original plan it was to look at John 5:16 through 23. Yeah, the original plan was to look at John 5:16 through 23, but. Sometimes when you're preparing for a sermon, God speaks to you, doesn't He? And a lot of times He speaks to you about that which you're preparing for, and He gives you what He wants you to share in that regard, and there's like an anointing to study that specific text, and He brings something out of it that is awesome and wonderful. But other times, He speaks to you when you're preparing, and He changes your plans. And so I had planned to speak on John 5:16 through 23, and the Lord just, it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but the Lord just redirected my plans. He was like, no, I want you to speak on something a little bit different. But this thing, God speaking to us and then changing our plans, it doesn't just happen with things like sermon preparation, does it? This has happened, is happening, and will continue to happen in each and every one of our lives. God is continually speaking to us in changing our plans, isn't He? Proverbs 16:1-3 says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives." It says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established." And then in verse 9, it goes on to say, "The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so in the Christian life, our plans don't always go as planned. Do you see what I'm saying? Our plans don't always go as planned. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So this portion of Scripture here, it's become so alive, so much clearer to me and to Brittany over the course of the past 3 years. And you see, we plan, He directs. And a lot of times His direction cancels our plans and replaces them with better ones. That's just how the Lord works. Many of you will remember that when John and George traveled to Kansas City, John just shared this with us, to look for someone to come here and serve at Mount Chapel. They left the job fair, like he said, at IHOPU, with a bit of a list of who they thought may be a good fit. And you may remember that I wasn't exactly at the top of the said list to begin with, but the Lord did something that He loves to do. He encountered John and George in the night through different ways, and then through meeting us the next day, He took these tentative sort of ideas and plans, and He was like, I want to direct your steps. And He, for whatever reason, I have no idea why, He did so by highlighting a tall, bald guy and a really good-looking woman, my wife. See, we plan, but God directs. And then there came this unexpected year-long wait. We originally planned for Brittany and I to make the move here to Salford in September of 2013. But because of some unforeseen circumstances, we weren't able to do so until March of 2014, like John just said. Which was 6 months later than we had originally planned, right? Again, we plan, but God is in the details and He directs. And during this waiting period, I've shared this story numerous times, so I'll be very brief with it. But during this waiting period, much to our surprise, Brittany and I found out that she was pregnant for the first time. And we excitedly began planning for the arrival of this baby. But as many of you guys know, we unfortunately lost our first baby due to a miscarriage. And it was during that waiting period, and it was a really difficult moment for us. But as difficult as it was, the Lord encountered our hearts in profound ways through our loss, and He strengthened our faith and belief in the power of the resurrection. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that we will see our baby again and that we will reign with Him forever in eternity. And so even in the midst of that extremely difficult moment in the waiting and through loss, the Lord used that moment to then encounter our hearts and to do stuff in us that could not happen, I don't think, in any other circumstance, in any other context. And I'm thankful to Him for that. And I know, like I said, that we will see who we believe was a son in heaven again, and we will reign with Him and the Lord for all of eternity. And just over 1 month after our loss, you guys know this as well, we found out we were pregnant again. And Brittany gave birth to Rocco in August of 2014, right here in Manchester. And you guys have just got to hear him all morning, being as loud as possible. You've got to watch him run around this whole place because he is full of energy. The kid is just absolutely crazy in the best sense of the word. He's just full of energy. I absolutely love him to death. He's amazing. But you see, like, again, here it is. We plan. We got pregnant the first time. We began planning. But we don't fully understand the ways of the Lord, do we? We can't fully understand the ways of the Lord. But He directs. He directs. Well, far before we ever moved here and started our work at Mount Chapel, God was making it abundantly clear that He was going to direct our steps. And over the course of the past 2 years of working for the church, He has done exactly that the entire time. You know, with the Alive worship gatherings that we led we led them on a biweekly basis for nearly 2 years. Well, the Lord directed us to focus almost entirely on worship and on prayer, and specifically on engaging the children and youth in those worship and prayer times, which, as many of you guys know, resulted in us being encouraged and ministered to by what the Lord was saying to and through the children. How many of you, if you just would, by a show of hands, raise your hand if you were blessed at one of those services by what the children were hearing from God and communicating to the church? It was amazing, wasn't it? It was stunning. I mean, John and I would have conversations with so many people about that. That was the highlight of those services. And you guys have such incredible, incredible children and youth at this church. I mean, you're incredible, period. But the children and youth, you guys are just amazing. They probably aren't hearing me because they're like doing all kinds of other things. But yeah, Christopher, Nathan, Edna, Hannah, Talita. I can't name all of you off the top of my head at the moment, but you guys are all absolutely amazing. But those weren't the original plans. Like when we were thinking about the Alive worship gatherings and what they might look like and how they might go and all that kind of stuff. Again, those weren't the original plans, but they were God's plans. They weren't exactly how I thought it was going to look or what I would have thought was going to happen at these services or whatever, but it's what God wanted to happen. Do you see what I'm saying? We make plans, but the Lord directs our steps. The Alive midweek gatherings. Originally, we were planning on having them either weekly or biweekly, if you remember this, and we had several different ideas of what they might look like. Well, then we had this church meeting. Do you guys remember this? We had this church meeting where we asked for your feedback, for the feedback of the rest of the church. And that resulted in God speaking through you to us to help shape the way these gatherings would look and when they should happen. And we've been having these for, I don't even know how long now, but we've had several, and it's been because of the wisdom of the council of many, the church coming together and bringing up really valid and really great points that have helped shape what that has looked like. And that's a significant thing, I think. It's just been awesome to come together for this massive meal on a monthly basis with our church family, hasn't it? It's been amazing to just share this big, huge meal. And we were blessed by, I think it was Steve's work, with these massive, cool tables that can seat like a billion people. I may or may not be exaggerating when I say that. But it's just been amazing to sit around the table with all of you and to get to know all of you better. And for many other people to get to know one another better in that context. It's just been awesome. And of course, not to mention, you know, the context that it's provided for the children and youth to just play games and have that time together as well, which has been awesome. It's just been great. You know, these gatherings have provided an opportunity, I think, in the life of our spiritual family to get to know one another better and to go deeper in the Word and prayer together, which has been really great. And so again, like I said, God, He met our plans and then He exceeded them with His direction. Because we were like, you know, we'll do this weekly or biweekly. We had these ideas of what it would look like. But then we brought it before the church, and just a lot of wisdom came out of that meeting. And God was like, I'm going to use this wisdom and these different things that people have pointed out to then redirect what this is going to look like and shape it and mold it how I want it to look moving forward. And as you guys know, these gatherings are something that are going to continue on far after me and Brittany are here, and that's just awesome. That's just amazing. It's really cool. I'm really thankful for the Lord for how He's orchestrated all of that. So again, I'm saying just for the purpose to say that we plan, but the Lord directs our steps. And God has done this the entire time we have been in this country. And when we came to the point of having to decide whether we would stay or go, it was no different. Some of you may not know this, but Brittany and I were torn for months as to whether we should stay another year or move back home. You can ask John, any of the elders. We had many, many conversations. We were in continual communication throughout the whole process, which was amazing. But we were torn for months and months as to whether we should stay another year or move back home. And we just didn't know what God wanted us to do. And we waited. You know, we prayed and we sought lots of godly counsel from the elders here and from some of our closest friends in different parts of the world. And for months, it just wasn't clear what we were supposed to do. We didn't want to go with our gut and make our own plans. And we wanted to hear clearly from the Lord about the matter. But even at that time, we were expecting to hear from the Lord in a particular way. You see, Throughout our journey, Brittany and I have been blessed to have seasons where the Lord has just spoke so clearly to us, like dreams and visions and incredible things, just like hearing the inner audible voice of the Lord just resonating in our frame and just giving us peace and confidence and clarity about what we're supposed to do and when we're supposed to do it. That type of thing happened when He led us to come here. And we've had him speak to us in that way. And so we were sort of like, when it came to this decision of whether we'd stay or go, we were like, Lord, we need that. And we're not settling for anything but that. And now that sounds as though it's a noble cause. And I'm not saying that it's not. We should seek the heart of God in our decisions for sure. And we should desire to hear Him speak to us. But for us, the Lord taught us something new as we were struggling in this process of figuring out whether to stay or go. And He taught us that He is the good shepherd, okay? And you guys might know this, but good shepherds, they lead from behind. And the reason they have a shepherd's hook is to redirect and save their sheep when needed. What God taught us in this process is that He is the good shepherd that leads from behind, and that we are in a green pasture, empowered by His Spirit to make godly decisions. You see, Brittany and I were sort of have this, I think, wrong idea that we could never make any decision. Like we had to hear this thunderous,
"You must do this,"
you know, sort of command from heaven. Now, don't get me wrong. I want those experiences, and we need those experiences in our Christian walk at different times. But there's also the reality of the fact that that which the highest heavens can't contain dwells within your human frame. The Holy Spirit is taking up residence within you, therefore giving you the enablement to make wise and godly decisions that look Christ-like. And what it is that when we make decisions that are in line with the will of God, He'll then affirm them and bless them. When we make decisions that aren't in line with the Word of God, that aren't in line with His will for your life, He simply will challenge them and He'll redirect your steps. And so it is with the sheep and the shepherd. They have the shepherd's hook, because when a sheep sometimes break out of the fold, and when they put themselves in a dangerous situation, like, for instance, wanting to run off a hill and not even know a cliff and not even know it, they'll take that hook and boom, pull them back into the fold. And so we were experiencing, I think for a long time, we thought, well, if we make a wrong decision, like, we're going to run off the cliff and die, to use that terminology, you know. And so we're like, we got to hear this thunderous voice. And the Lord taught us a new way of communing with Him, a new way of hearing from Him, a new way of trusting Him in us, the hope of glory. And that we actually can, as sons and daughters, make good decisions, good godly decisions, because of Him who dwells within us. And now it has to be tempered with the fact that not every decision we make is going to be good. Not every decision we make is going to be right, because we're imperfect, flawless human beings. But because we are endeavoring to be humble like Jesus, if we make a wrong one, we simply humble ourselves before Him and before others, whoever are involved in the situation, and the Lord will redirect our steps. It's really that simple. And so God is the good shepherd that leads from behind. And we and each one of us are in a green pasture empowered by the Holy Spirit to make godly decisions. And through the difficult process of trying to figure out whether to stay or go, God was showing us that He made us by His Spirit capable of making godly decisions, just like I've said. And once we made ours, once we finally came to the point, you know, we went home and we visited family and these different things happened that I'll talk more about later. And we came back and we still were struggling even after then. And finally it became clear we need to make what we feel is the best godly decision here, and then see if the Lord affirms it or pulls out the shepherd hook and goes, "Keith, that's the wrong one," and redirects our steps. And once we made our decision in this case, in this instance, He affirmed it in so many incredible ways. And He brought us such peace and confidence in His leadership and in what He's leading us to do next. Again, I'll talk about that a little bit later. And that's how good God is. He is so good. He's so good in the way He leads us, in the way He guides us, in the way He directs us. He knows what's best. He knows that He's empowered us to make plans. And sometimes those plans, yes, they'll be 100% in His will. Sometimes. And sometimes they're not, and He needs to redirect our steps. Is this making sense this morning? And we need to be open to both. We need to make plans, but we need to always subject those plans to the leadership of the Lord and allow Him to direct our steps. Because I'll be honest with you, for me in this transition, it's been very difficult. Because what we're transitioning to, again, I'll tell you about this later. I'll say that like 10 times. Is a lot different than what we've been doing for years, especially what I've been doing for years, how I've been employed, especially. And that's been a very difficult thing for me, for many reasons. But the Lord has given me peace. He's given me confidence. He's given me clarity. He's given me only the things that only He can give that have shown me that what He's leading us to is good and it's right and it's correct for my life, for my family, and even for the advancement of the kingdom of God in the ways that He wishes to use us in that way. And so again, Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Again, we plan, but God directs. And so, why have I decided to share all of this with you this morning? It's for this reason. Because as you transition into a new year, into 2016, and into a new season, as you seek God as to whether you employ someone else, and if so, who and what position of leadership they may serve in, just know that you are in a green pasture, empowered by the Holy Spirit to make godly decisions, and that He will affirm your decisions when they are in line with His will, and He will challenge them potentially and redirect them when they are not. But God has directed, I want you to hear me on this, God has directed, and He will continue to direct the steps of Mount Chapel Christian Fellowship. God has directed, and He will continue to direct the steps of Mount Chapel Christian Fellowship. And to close this morning, I want to take a few minutes to just simply affirm and encourage you in your strengths as a church body. Hospitality and generosity. This church, just in a on a personal note, has been so hospitable and generous towards my wife and I and my son. I mean, I was talking, I think, with John Platt recently. We were out for a coffee, and I was just, it just came out of me all the ways. I can't even think of all of them right now, but I was just started saying all the different ways and specific instances where we have been on the receiving end of your hospitality, of your generosity in abundance. And I just want you to know that we've seen all of that, and that we have appreciated and appreciate all of that. But way more than we see it and appreciate it, God sees it and appreciates it. He really does. It's not a trivial thing. He sees Mount Chapel Christian Fellowship, and He sees every single one of you in the way that you are hospitable, in the way that you are generous towards others, and He loves it. He absolutely loves it. He looks down from heaven. He looks upon you. And I believe that the Lord is smiling upon you and saying, well done, Mount Chapel. Way to be hospitable. Way to be generous. Do you know how many people, after Brittany and I had a baby, dropped off meals at my home? Do you know how many people have given us card after card after card for holidays and birthdays, and just because? Do you know how many people have blessed us completely under the radar, without anybody knowing, financially, and in many other ways? So many of you have encouraged us, have poured so much into us in terms of hospitality and generosity and in many other ways. And it has just been amazing. And like I said, I believe that that does not go unnoticed from heaven. The Lord looks upon that, and it blesses His heart, truly. Your heart for prayer and worship. You guys are awesome. Your heart for prayer and worship is just awesome. It's your heart for prayer and worship, not my creativity, that made the Alive worship gathering successful. When I was saying that, it wasn't to say, look what I've done while I've been with you, in any way, shape, or form. It was simply saying, look what I've been able to step into because of what you've sown in prayer. The only reason that that was able to be a success, that that was able to be a success, I just said that, is because of what you've sown in prayer. It's because of the culture of prayer and worship in this place. And I was able to step into that and then lead in that capacity, and that the kids then became increasingly and are becoming even more increasingly receptive to prayer and worship. Your heart for prayer and worship and your dedication to it doesn't go unnoticed from heaven. I want to share a story. I'm not going to name a name, but we had a gathering here not too long ago where God came in an awesome way. I shared this testimony last night at something else. And during that gathering, I was on my knees worshiping. A lot of people were. It was just a special moment. And I looked up in like the whole room. Either you were being prayed for or you were praying for someone else. I looked over to the left, and actually right here, it was here. There were three people up on stage, young ones. And that was just sort of like, you know, they're in the valley of decision of how do I engage with the adults in worship. And so for the most, sometimes they just sit there and they don't fully know how to engage, to jump in yet. And they're getting there. But anyways, I look over and they're sitting there. Or I looked over before this all happened, they're sitting there. I looked over after this happened, and two of them are laying hands on one another and praying for one another. And the other one has came over here, the seats are set up this way, and is praying for one of their youth leaders in our church, laying hands on and praying for one of our youth leaders in our church. I walked up to that young man when the time was right, and I said, "What's going on with you? What's God doing with you? What's going on?" And he said, "You know, I was sitting up there, and I just felt like God removed a heavy burden from me, and I don't want to sit on the sidelines anymore. I want to pray for people." That's what he said. And so I said, "Well, let's go pray for people." And we walked around and laid hands on all kinds of people and prayed for all kinds of people. That's amazing. That young man is 12 years old. 12 years old. What you've cultivated here in prayer, in your own personal lives, in the place of prayer and worship, in your intimacy with Jesus, and what you've cultivated as a fellowship, as a church, in prayer and worship, is so, so important. And it is clearly seen, I think. It's clearly seen, it's clearly felt when people who aren't used to this church or haven't attended this church come into the church. It is a hallmark and a staple of your church and of what you are all about, what God has wired you as a spiritual community to do. And I think it is such a beautiful thing. I don't even know how to put words to how the beauty that God sees in it. Again, from heaven, the Lord is looking down upon it. It may not feel or look how you would like it to feel or look, but God looks down from heaven and he is smiling upon it. Again, he sees it as absolutely beautiful in his sight. You know, so often we can, and I'm guilty of this just like any other person, but we can get so negative in the flow of church life. And we can sort of just get in the habit of looking at what isn't and what is lacking instead of looking at what is and what God is doing. And so my hope in sharing some of this morning is to just encourage you and affirm you and build you up in who the Lord has wired you to be and what he's been doing through you. And to let you know that it is clearly seen, that it does not go unseen from heaven, that God looks upon you and he loves you and he is so pleased with what you have done, everything you've sown through the years and everything you're sowing now, everything you will be sowing in the future. It's a beautiful thing. The mission focus. This church supports all kinds of missionaries from all over the world. And that is absolutely amazing. In our two years of being here, we've got a chance to meet several of them. Several of them came and spoke, have blessed us immensely in what they've shared. And you guys are extremely committed to sowing into the work of God abroad, locally, and all over the earth. And that is a special thing to the Lord, because the Lord may have marked you as a church that's more focused on prayer and on worship and on exalting King Jesus. But there's a convergence of prayer and mission happening all over the earth. And this church has embraced that, because you've embraced what he's called you to, but you've also embraced that mission focus that we are going to sow into what the Lord is doing all over the earth. And so well done. Well done for doing that. I mean, this isn't a new thing. You guys have been doing this for years and years and years. I've been in meetings. We've talked about missionaries that we've supported for, 60 years? I think there's some missionaries we've supported for 60 years. 55 years. I don't want to exaggerate. This is approximate what I'm saying right now. But it's just absolutely amazing. Again, I think that the Lord looks upon that and he smiles. He's so pleased with Mount Chapel. He's so pleased with you as individuals and as a church. Now, there's many other things I could say, but I just want to end with one. And that's your leadership team. I personally have been so blessed to be a part of this leadership team. And that has been probably one of the most influential and encouraging parts of my tenure here. Actually, and to be honest, it was one of the most unexpected things that happened, wasn't it? Because I don't think that was, again, that wasn't the plan, but the Lord redirected it. And I was asked to sort of be a part of that. And I think I've mentioned this to you, John, but the first leadership meeting I went to was at Harold's house. And we came together, and during this meeting, the majority of the meeting wasn't politics and arguing and all this kind of stuff. It was prayer and worship. And now we talk about what we need to talk about and go through the agenda and all that kind of stuff, because you have to do those types of things. But the heartbeat was, we want to encounter God, and we want to pray and seek Him, that He'll bless what we're about to talk about. And after we talk about it, let's encounter God again and pray some more. And I have to be honest with you, I've served at a big mega church in the States years ago and in other contexts, and been a part of several different leadership teams. And in those contexts, I was begging those teams for us to pray together. Literally, I was challenging them all the time. Why don't we pray together? Like, this doesn't make any sense. We're arguing with each other about all these issues going on in the church, but you don't want to pray? These leadership contexts I had been in the past. And so to come here and to be a part of a team where we're praying together just blessed me. You can ask Brittany. I came home from the first meeting from Harold's house. I mean, it was an awesome night. The presence of God just came in an incredible way. And I came home from that meeting nearly in tears. I was holding back the tears physically, but they were happening. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. Men know what I'm talking about. But I came home, I was like basically in tears, and I was like, I just was telling Brittany, I'm like, this is awesome. Like, this is awesome. I'm going to be able to be a part of a leadership team that actually likes each other and that actually prays together. And that has been such a massive blessing to Brittany and I, to be a part of that, to this team. I think I've told you guys this before individually, maybe as a group, but I just want also to say to the rest of the church that you guys have an incredible group of elders and incredible leaders at this church, both in terms of the elders and the young leaders, to the deacons, to all the people that lead different facets of ministry in this church. You guys have all been a blessing to me. Abe and I recently sort of spearheaded, if you will, this Christmas kids party. And it was absolutely amazing to me to see, because we sort of did a bit of it last minute, and there's a bunch of details about that, but whatever. It came together in the end beautifully, because a lot of different people in the life of the church who serve in different places of leadership just jumped in. Everyone just jumped in and made it happen. It was a beautiful thing. And so, again, that's another thing. I think from the perspective of heaven, the Lord, it is clear that His leadership is guiding you. That the Lord is truly leading the leadership team of this church, the leaders all throughout this church, and the people of this church. And you should be encouraged by Him in that. It's a beautiful thing. And so I just want to end by reading a verse to you out of Romans 12, starting in verse 4. Actually, if you wouldn't mind, if you want to just close your eyes and just let the Lord wash over you with the water of His word from Romans 12, starting in verse 4. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. You will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Verse 21, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. And I wanted to read that over you guys, because I think even the challenging bits in there, you guys are doing this. Mount Chapel, you guys are doing these things, and you're doing them very well. And so I just want to end by saying thank you. I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for your generosity, for your hospitality towards Brittany, Rocco, and I. Like I said, it hasn't gone unnoticed. It's been an absolute, incredible blessing to us. Thank you so much for your heart of prayer and worship and what you've cultivated here, and that you've even allowed us to come over, and you've allowed us to serve in the life of this church. You've allowed us to step into what you've cultivated and what you've built. And you've allowed us to use our gifts in the mix of that. It has been such an incredible time for us of growth. I mean, even in the fact that I've got to preach probably 30, 40 times, maybe more, since I've been here. Half of those on Sunday mornings and in different contexts in the life of the church. I've got to grow in that, and part of what God has called me to do. Tremendously. It's been such a blessing. Your heart for prayer and worship has been an incredible blessing to me. Like I said, from the leadership all throughout the whole church, it's been an incredible blessing. And like I just said, I was talking about the leadership. You guys have been such an incredible, incredible blessing to me. And so I just want to thank you. I'll probably do a lot of this in there as well. Over food. But no, thank you. Seriously, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you so much for bringing us over, for having us, for welcoming us with open arms, for taking care of us, for providing for us when we have need, for loving my son, for loving my wife, for loving me, for serving us in all kinds of different ways. It's been amazing. To be honest with you, we have not been a part of a church as caring as this one to this day. And so I think moving forward for Mount Chapel, how whatever it is that the Lord may direct you into, however He leads and guides you, keep these things central. Keep these things central. They may morph in the way they look and expressions of them. They may change a little bit. But they're going to be central, and they're going to be a blessing to every person that comes through these doors, whether as a guest or somebody who joins the church, and to those who may come and serve by way of working at the church. In the same way that I've been blessed by these things, I believe so many through the years have been blessed by them. So many are being blessed by them now, and so many will be blessed by them in the future. So if you all just stand with me, I just want to pray over you all, and we'll end there. So, Father, I just thank you, God, so much for this church, God. I thank you, Lord, for Mount Chapel. Lord, and I thank you, God, for the fact, God, that the people make up the church. And so, in essence, God, I'm thanking you, Lord, for every single individual who's standing here today and all those who aren't able to be here today. Lord, I thank you, God, for each and every person. And for everything, God, that they bring to the table, Lord, in this fellowship. For all the wisdom, Lord, all the insight. For all the gifts, Lord, and all the service. I just thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that what you're allowing me to feel and experience right now, Lord, this thankfulness, God, is the same thankfulness that is in your heart towards Mount Chapel. It's the same thankfulness that is in your heart towards every single person standing in this room and those who can't be here today. So, Father, I pray right now, God, that you would well up within the hearts of every man and woman and child here today. God, would you well up thanksgiving, oh God, that thanksgiving would be our portion in 2016, Lord. That thanksgiving would be in our hearts and coming out of our mouths, Lord, in every facet of our lives, in every facet of this church life, Lord, that the children and the adults, Lord, that every single person in this church, Lord, would recognize and become full of thanksgiving, Lord. That we would be a thankful people, thankful to our God and thankful for one another, looking, God, to what you are doing, what you are saying, what our strengths are, Lord. Looking to where you are blessing, where you are moving, Lord. And being thankful for it. And blessing you for it. Father, I pray, God, that you would release, God, a new wave of thanksgiving and worship in this church. Lord, a joy, God. A joy that's been experienced in the past, God, but that a joy that is going to be far exceeded in the future, Father. Release a joy in the hearts of every single person in this church. Father, I pray, God, for shame to be broken off, Lord, and for people to be unashamed in their faith, bold in their faith, to be able to freely pray and worship without even caring slightly what anybody else thinks about them. I pray, God, that every single person in this church would be like Rosa. That every single person in this church, God, would be free to dance, would be free to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to even do that with our physical bodies, to engage our physical bodies, because our physical bodies, Lord, are a living sacrifice to you. Father, I pray, God, that you would release that spirit of thanksgiving, Lord, in 2016. Oh God, that the prayer and worship that ascends from this place, both on Sundays and every other time it happens in this place, God, that it would be full of life, that it would be full of joy all the more, even more, God. Thank you for the measure that we have already, but God, I ask you, Lord, for more. And I pray, God, for James and Helen and Jonathan and everybody who leads worship and who serves on the worship team, Lord, I pray, God, that you would fill them with joy. That you'd fill them with joy, God. That you'd fill them with thanksgiving. And Father, that would just come out as they lead worship, Lord. That as they lead, Lord, their hands would be moved on the keyboard by the thanksgiving of Jesus. Being thankful for who He is, even more. They already are, Lord, but I ask you, God, for more. That you would anoint their hands, that you would anoint their voices, Lord, to play and sing to you in a new way. Let the new song of the Lord arise. Let the new song of the Lord arise and not be stifled. Let the new song of the Lord come forth and wash over the minds and hearts of every single person in this room. Every single person of this church. Let the new song of the Lord come forth. Let it be sang. Let it be entered into. Let it be embraced. Let the hymns of heaven come out of the mouths of the worship leaders of Mount Chapel. And come out of the mouths of every person that sings along with them. Father, I ask you, God, to pour out your Spirit upon this church afresh. In a tangible, manifest way, Lord. I thank you, God, for the tangible, manifest way we experienced it here not too long ago. And what came from that, Lord, that was simply a snapshot and a down payment of what is to come. Father, come and have your way, Lord. I pray, God, for every person in this church that needs encouragement today, Lord. Thank you, God, that the Holy Spirit lives within each and every one of us. I pray, God, that you would encourage them right now. That you would show them your word. Give them a vision right now. Show them a Bible verse that encourages them. Speak to them truths that wash over them and that encourage them, Lord. That cure them of any anxiety, any discouragement at all. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you, God, for the privilege that it's been to be a part of this spiritual family and for everything that you've used this church to teach us. And for the fact, God, that there has been many things during this season that will stay with us for the rest of our lives, Lord. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for this church. I pray, God, a blessing over every mind, every heart, and every person. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you. Well, you said some very kind things there. Thank you very much. And we've got a great future, haven't we? Because God's on our side. So we're with God as we go forward, and so are Keith and Brittany and Rocco. Okay, that's the end of the service. Children, you have done brilliantly staying in. Well done. One of the hashtags on Facebook that Keith put up a lot is Rocco's British Life. Sometimes they change it to Rocco's British Wife. I can see Sophie sat there, and Sophie and Rocco are going to miss each other.
Yeah. Aren't they? I'm going to say something about that. That's okay. They are actually really going to miss each other. Actually, Rocco has been talking to Brittany and I, and he's planning. Don't tell Sophie. She can't hear me because she's distracted right now. But he's actually planning to come back when he's 18 to pursue her hand in marriage. And Laura and Tellus, I mean, we've tried to talk them into it. You know, they're more along the lines of we don't want to plan these things, you know. But the Lord will direct his steps. I'm just kidding.
Okay, well, she's completely ignored all that. She's got a back to him. Okay, that's the service over. I assume somebody will tell us when to move through for food. Maybe somebody's doing it right now. Laura, you've just missed a big conversation about Sophie's future. You just wait another 17 years. Sophie's beginning to show. She's well aware. They did what? Oh, all right. They've shared many an ice cream. Me, personally, when I look at Keith, I think coffee. I think, V60 pour overs. Have you ever heard of a V60 pour over? Anybody? Who's heard of a V60 pour over? No hands. One. Keith said to me one day, should we go for a V60 pour over? What would you say? I said, yeah. It's a coffee. It's a kind of coffee. And then my son asked for a V60 pour over for Christmas. A way of making coffee. Wisdom. I found it very weak, actually. It looked like very weak tea. Didn't look like coffee. But apparently the connoisseurs, that is the coffee to have. Anyway, I'm waffling now. End of service. Somebody will tell us when the food's ready, I guess. Okay, thank you.